What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs get a nice win over the Charlotte Hornets. DeMarcus Cousins throws a shoe, and the playoff race in the West is taking shape for chaos. All that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Warriors beat the Hornets last night in a, it was a fine win. I'm going to get to just about everything from that game. And one of the reasons why I say it was just fine is the Warriors have lacked a, it's hard to not categorize it in a cliche way, but like a killer instinct this season. We've seen them get leads and maintain the lead, but what we used to see was them get like a 10-point lead, and then all of a sudden it's 20-something and the game's basically over. But instead, we see them more often than not get the lead and have to maintain it throughout the game. It was last night, I think Fitzgerald said it a couple times, which he can overreact a little bit. But, you know, they had to win that game numerous times last night. They were ahead by, 14, 15, 17, all at different times, and allowed Charlotte to get back in it, down to 8, 7, 5, whatever. So it's just, I don't know if that's you attribute that to other teams being better, to the Warriors not having the, like I said, I hate using cliches, but the killer instinct or whatever. But it's just something that's different than it has been over the last couple seasons. And we saw that last night. Warriors did get the win, 121 to 110. So it's not a bad thing or anything like that. It's just something that I've noticed. And I'm sure you all have too. But in this game last night, DeMarcus Cousins had his best game as a Warrior, I'd say. And part of it is because of how he was able to finish at the rim. And his agility looked better. I mean, he's never been the most agile player in the league or anything like that. But he was able to make moves to the rim, a couple different spin moves. He still had some bad moments, a couple turnovers, times when he would go to the hoop when, there were three people there and kind of just flail up a shot. But there were also some great plays, making a move on Zeller at the top of the arc, driving to the hoop for the dunk. A couple different spin moves that did work out. So it was all in all a positive game, but especially for DeMarcus Cousins, who was the headliner. Before I do continue on that, it is pouring rain where I'm at, and it's really hitting the window in the studio pretty hard. So if you guys are hearing that, sorry. Apologies. Mother Nature, what can I say? But anyways, back to it. DeMarcus Cousins, he ended up going 9 for 15, was 1 of 4 from 3, which you would like him to be better, but that's something that will hopefully correct itself. 11 rebounds, 1 offensive, 10 defensive. 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. He was a plus 10 with 24 points, 11 boards is the main thing. So it was a really good game for him. And he continues to get to the line, which is also nice. It's nice having a big man that can get to the line and hit free throws from the line. So best game so far. I also have to mention, though, while offensively it was his best game so far, I mean, we have to say that Cody Zeller also went 13 for 14 from the field and 28 points. And though it wasn't 100% on DeMarcus Cousins, he was involved in a lot of the actions that got Cody Zeller a career night against the Warriors. As far as notes for this game go, not a ton to it. Draymond was a beast. He was an absolute defensive monster. He's hopefully rounding into shape for the playoffs. And hopefully that's something that this team will start doing pretty soon. Because, again, tonight wasn't an example of them being playoff ready, being locked in for the playoffs either. I mentioned Draymond defensively, offensively not great. I think he had 5 turnovers. Klay had a sequence that was funny in hindsight where he drove to the hoop, goes for the layup, gets it blocked, and then on the next possession gets a wide open layup and just clanks it, Klay ups, you know. But he was fine. He actually had a pretty good game, but just a funny segment for Klay, sequence for Klay when, you know, I've praised how much better he's gotten at finishing at the rim. They ran some nice action off the pick and roll for Cousins. For him, they run the pick and roll. He gets it, and then there's some action off of that to get him a couple assists. Got Draymond to dunk. I think got Iguodala a nice layup, too. So it's good to see them trying new things off of the action that they got Cousins in. Cody Zeller was killing Cousins for the first quarter. There was no doubt about it. In the second, there was some more nice action off of Cousins' post-ups. They're starting to do things off of it, which is great because really what we've seen when I've talked about them forcing it to Cousins was what we saw was just here, post up against the center and make something happen. And he hasn't been able to do that. I'd like him to find mismatches for him. I'd like them to run more stuff off of the post up, off of the pick and roll. And that's what we're seeing in this last game. He was much better around the rim, finishing in traffic, finishing in minor traffic also. He's struggled at that so far. And so it was a great, great sign for him, personally for him and for the team, that he's able to start to finish. Because the thing is, with how poor the group has played together and Cousins has played together, if he gets it together, if he gets back to what he was, I mean, obviously he's not going to be exactly what he was when he was, you know, all NBA type center. But if he can get back to being a good finisher, I think he was shooting like 60% from the field before. If he can get back to that, this team is going to be unstoppable. But the problem is he's not that yet. So they're still working his way back. But if he can get back to it, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. He had back-to-back dunks, which was great. McKinney got some run tonight, which was good to see. And it was great activity, good minutes from him. Just the energy that he plays with, him going for all the offensive rebounds. He had 2 offensive rebounds. Knocked down a 3, had a nice little dunk also. I mean, he was everywhere. So it was good to see him get some run and take advantage. At the end of the first half, though, the Warriors, man, this is what I'm talking about with them not being locked in. They had 3 turnovers, 3 back-to-back turnovers, and their 14-point lead went down to 5. They were able to knock down a 3 at the end of the half to push it back up to 8, but it was just... it was ugly, man. It was ugly at times. And the Charlotte Hornets had 12 points off turnovers, to where the Warriors only had 2. And part of that is Charlotte just doesn't turn the ball over. But still, it was frustrating. It was frustrating to see, like I said, the killer instinct. It was frustrating to see them go up 14 and give that up in a matter of, you know, 4 possessions. In the third, just more turnovers. Steph was struggling tonight. Did not have a great game. But, yeah, the third, it was mostly turnovers. Steph missing shots. Some bad shot selection from a lot of players. But I think the main thing right now is they're just trying to get Boogie back into shape. And not shape, but back into his groove, I guess. Boogie in a groove. Ha. Hilarious. But, yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is right now, but I think that's it. I think they're really focusing on Boogie being Boogie. And I don't know when that's going to stop, but I would like to see them get in playoff mode. In the second quarter, Boogie had 11. That's when he really went off and kind of fought Steve Kerr. Not fought him, but urged Steve Kerr to let him stay in with some foul trouble, and he did, and it paid off. In the fourth, Draymond was just everywhere. He was a defensive menace tonight. It was amazing. It was vintage Draymond. It was defensive player of the year type Draymond. And it was great to see. Another situation here, when the Dubs go up 17, they give up a 10-0 run. So the Charlotte Hornets cut it to 7. Again, these are things they need to clean up. They need to not allow that. You know, up 17, that's when this team would usually wrap it up. go up by 25 in the next minute or so, and then most of the guys are sitting the fourth. But instead, they let Charlotte get back into it with a 10-0 run, and it's just, I don't know. They need to figure it out. They need to figure it out. That's about it for the game. They end up getting the win, 121-110. Not anything to write home about, but for DeMarcus, it was a good game. It was a good game, and hopefully the start of his comeback, or whatever you want to call it. As far as everyone else, Steph struggled, 5 of 18 from the field, 4 of 14 from 3. KD, 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. Klay was solid. He went 11 of 19, 3 of 5 from 3, 26 points. So on a night when Steph and KD aren't really playing well, not only did DeMarcus have his best game, but he had his best game at a time when they needed it. So that was also good to see. And Klay, playing better, playing well. Going to talk about Klay a little bit more after the break. Same thing with Boogie. A couple things from last night and a couple things moving forward on the two. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. What's good? Just finished talking about the Charlotte game. A couple of things I wanted to talk about from that. DeMarcus Cousins had a situation where Jeremy Lamb lost a shoe in the middle of the game. It popped off. And Cousins grabbed it and just hurled it, tossed it aimlessly into the crowd, into the first row. It was actually caught by former Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis. And he got a T for it. And agree or disagree about the technical, it wasn't because he threw the shoe, it's because he threw something into the crowd, which is an automatic technical, which sucks and is stupid. He was just trying to save himself, and that's pretty much what he said about the situation when he was asked about it.
You know, next time, you know, I'll just, you know, step on the shoe and, you know, roll my ankle, break it, you know, tear the kid, you know, just leave it out there next time. I guess that's what they mean.
There is Boogie on the subject, on the tee, on throwing the shoe. The audio is not perfect, so for those who couldn't hear it, he just said, next time I'll step on the shoe, roll my ankle, break it, tear an Achilles. And I think he makes a great point, because I know the letter of the law. You can't throw something into the stands. And next time, I'm sure he'll be more aware and throw it into the backcourt or something like that. Make sure he doesn't throw it into the stands. But, I mean, there is a speed bump on the court in the form of Jeremy Lamb's shoe. We can't stop play to move it. So he's not only getting it out of the way for his own safety, but for everyone else's also. So I agree with him. It was a letter of the law technical. It's understandable that they called it, but at the same time, I side with Boogie and his reasoning for getting rid of it. And so did the NBA. They actually ended up rescinding the T from last night. They don't take the point away, though, from the technical free throw, but that T is not on his grand total, which I was surprised to see was 6. Dude, you've played like 4 games, but it's back down to 5. So he's good. I think he knew he was only playing so many games so he could rack him up at a better rate this year. I don't know. But luckily, I don't know. I just think the NBA made the right decision of rescinding the T, and I understand why the officials made the call. They had to, but, you know, context matters, and so the NBA did the right thing. And as far as the officials go, Draymond, unprompted, had some nice things to say about him last night. Here's what Draymond said.
Here's what it is. I thought Brian Forte roughed a great game, you know? So, you know, that's one call that's a little question, but, you know, he's spot on with some calls, so I thought he roughed a great game.
How's the ankle holding up?
He roughed
a good game.
I think he just made some great calls. Sometimes, you know, you try to talk to officials and they can kind of be a little standoffish. He had a conversation, which was great, always great when you can converse a little bit. And he had some great calls tonight that I thought was pretty spot on.
So Draymond Green with some praise for Brian Forte, the official, kind of random, but I don't know. I just wanted to play it because, you know, not all officials are bad, and it's noticed when they do a good job, as we've seen with Draymond. And maybe there's something more to the story also. Like, I have no idea, and I don't know how I could check this. I mean, I probably could check it, but I'm too lazy. Like, was he part of the Scott Foster crew that the Rockets were complaining about? I doubt it. I just think Draymond is Draymond, and, you know, actually thinks Brian Forte had a great game. So, there you go. I think he was talking about the shoe-throwing technical that was a call that didn't go their way, but, you know, whatever. I just thought it was interesting for Draymond out of nowhere to praise an official. One other thing I want to get to is Klay Thompson. He had 26 points, 11 to 19 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. But what I want to get to is the fact that he's shooting 39.8% from 3. Not quite as highest. I think he was up to 39.82 at one point. But he is one more okay, fine average game from getting up to 40%. And once he hits 40%, that'll be the first time this season that he's been shooting 40% from three. And for Klay, obviously, it's different for every single player. Like, if anyone else, if McKinney was shooting 40% from three, it would be fantastic. Same thing with Jarebko. Klay, that's standard. His lowest season total from three is 40%, 40.4%. So, couple more, another 3 of 5 game. I think we'll get him right about 40%. Anything better than that, we'll get him above 40%. So something to look out for. I thought he was going to do it before the All-Star break, and then he had that clunker against Portland. So keep your eye on that. He's going to get there. It's going to keep climbing, and he'll be Klay. He'll have a standard Klay season, but right now he's oh so close, and I think he's going to get there. He needs to get there. Hopefully against the Heat on Wednesday it will happen, but who knows? You know, the Miami flu goes around. Which basically means they all go out and have a good time when they have multiple days off in Miami, which they do. Well, not multiple. They got there last night, and then they have today off, and then they play tomorrow. More than enough time to be hungover on Wednesday. So we'll see. Going to take one more quick break. Come back. We will talk about the playoff seeding and standings, which is out of control. Everything's moving. I have no idea who's going to be the 8 seed. Pretty good idea who's going to be the 1 seed. And a couple other things also coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's happening? I want to get to the playoff seeding because it is going crazy. The Lakers lose to the Memphis Grizzlies, man. You know, I was keeping my eye on the schedules coming out for the Clippers and for the Kings and the Lakers. And these first four games for the Kings, they had Warriors, OKC, Minnesota, and I think Milwaukee before they play the Clippers. The Clippers had Memphis, Denver, Dallas, Utah, and then the Kings. So those are two tough schedules, while the Lakers had Houston, New Orleans, Memphis, and New Orleans again. So I'm expecting them to go 3-1 in that four-game stretch there. That's time to pick up ground when you got New Orleans, Memphis, New Orleans. They've played New Orleans. They lost. They played Memphis. They lost. And they're playing New Orleans again tomorrow. So I don't know what's going on. They're under 500 right now. I picked them to miss the playoffs. And I was picking more with my heart than my head. But, man, I don't know. My heart might be right now. They are 2 games behind Sacramento, 3 games behind the 8 seed, which, guess who's in the 8 seed right now? It's actually San Antonio, because the Clippers have jumped San Antonio after San Antonio had a 1-7 road trip. This is, I don't even know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's getting crazy. We talked about the Lakers. Minnesota is tied with the Lakers right now for that 10th seed. They're both 29-31. They have a chance to make a move for that 8 seed. It's just, everything's happening. Everything's happening. I don't know how it's going to end. And the other thing on top of that is Houston at the 5 seed is only 3 games ahead of San Antonio, the 8 seed. everything's all over the place. I don't know who the Warriors are going to face. I did say I had an idea of who would be number one. That would be the Warriors. But even then, Denver Nuggets only a game and a half back. Oklahoma City in the 3 seed, 4.5 back. I think that's pretty much done. It's going to be between Denver and Golden State. And is there a chance? I mean, I think the Warriors would prefer the number one seed and home court advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs. But do they look at it and say, oh, well, maybe if we're the 2 seed, we're playing a more favorable matchup, you know, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. Might be some seeding manipulation coming up. I doubt it, but it's possible. So everything's going crazy. I don't know who's going to end up where, but I think my prediction that the Lakers miss the playoffs might work out. But again, still 22 games left. So, I mean, I'll keep updating this. I'll keep my eye on it, as I'm sure you all will too. But man, it is dramatic. It is dramatic. I'll tell you what, Phoenix is eliminated from playoffs. That one really hurts, guys. They're 12-50. So that's one team you can count out of the race. League pass picks for tonight. Actually a good night considering there's only 3 games. It's been fun because as soon as they come back from the All-Star break, everyone has to play, you know? So we've had game nights with 10, 11, 12 games. Tonight, only 3 games, but 2 of them are damn good. And it's not the Magic and the Knicks. Celtics-Raptors, I'm in. I mean, potential Eastern Conference playoff matchup. Again, I think the Celtics are the most talented team. If they can ever figure out how to play together, they'll be a monster. But the problem is they haven't really figured it out. So we got Celtics-Raptors, and then we got Thunder-Nuggets, that 2-3 seed. I mean, let's check it out. Russell Westbrook, his triple-double streak is over. So is he even that good anymore? I don't know. We'll have to watch and see. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check out the games. I'll be back tomorrow with more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.